Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to start a new series today. And I've got it called, What is the Church and Where Do I Fit? So probably the next 6 weeks or so, we'll just kind of move in this direction because of some of the things that we want in regards to the membership area and moving in that area of development, the D3. So I want to just talk about first mention of the church. Let's go to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. The first mention of the church. Now, the law of first mention reveals that the meaning of that word, when it is first mentioned, is carried with it each use afterwards. Okay? So, for example, one of the first times that the word glory is used in the Old Testament was in regards to Jacob. And Jacob was working for his father-in-law, Laban. And Laban had changed the rules, changed the contract, changed things without Jacob's agreement, but did it anyways. And the incentive for Jacob to just keep going on was high, and so he just continued to go along with it. But once he got Rachel, and then he prayed and he got the creative idea in regards to the spotted and speckled. And Laban agreed to that. Okay, I'll keep all the ones that are solid color and you can have the spotted and speckled. Because looking over the crowd of their flock, there ain't no a whole lot of spotted and speckled ones. But as he got this creative idea, every time there was mating going on, spotted and speckled kept being birthed and birthed and birthed. And all of a sudden, the complaint of Laban's boys then was that Jacob has taken the glory of our father. And so the law of first mention then, the glory, they're specifically talking about the wealth of their father. Well, in the Hebrew, the word glory means splendor. Okay, the glory filled the temple. But here's, it's the splendor. But it also means heavy with everything good. The thickness, the glory, the splendor, how thick it is. God's presence was thick. But it also means riches, wealth, and honor. Okay? And so a lot of times when we hear about the glory and talk about the glory and we talk about Joel chapter, 1 and 2 and the glory, well, we think of the splendor. But the law of first mention, even if it's talking about the splendor, the idea of the wealth and the heavy with everything good, which includes wealth, which will also include health, because health is good. Jesus went about doing what? Went about doing good and healing. Good and healing. So, I mean, healing is good. So heavy with everything good. And we see that the wealth is also tied. It's continued to be tied to it. Even though the main part might be talking about the splendor, the wealth still comes along with it. Yes. Amen? So, the law of first mention, then however it's mentioned first or the context in which it's mentioned first, then also just continues to carry with it. It's like if you cook fish and the house is filled with the aroma. You can have supper and you can go to sleep and you can wake up the next morning, come back down in the kitchen and go, it's still here. Whatever it might, lasagna or whatever, is there's that aroma can, And so it's the same thing. It just is carried along with it the next time. So we see here, Matthew chapter 16, starting in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Who do men say that the Son of Man am?" And they said, "Some say that you are John the Baptist, some say Elias or Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." So, Jesus first asked them, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so, again, he's talking about his humanity. As he came here and took upon himself flesh, he's saying, "Who do people say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And so they gave some answers. And so he's kind of priming the pump here, because this really is not the important question. The important question came next. Because then he said, "But whom say ye that I am?" Who do you say that I am? Because the issue is, and that's why it really didn't matter what their first answers were. They're just reporting what they've heard. But now the issue here is the next one, because the next one actually makes a difference in their personal lives. It's not what others are now saying. It's now, what are you saying about me? Because, let me read this. The issue is, "He is to me what I believe and say he is." So he is to you what you believe and say he is. So if people don't believe that Jesus is the healer, they don't say he's the healer, and he's not the healer to them, even though he is the healer. To them, he will not provide any healing. Because they will not allow him, because who do they say he is? He's just Savior. In a small context, Savior. In other words, he's my ticket to heaven. And so to them, he's the ticket to heaven, and that's all he is. He just affects their Sunday morning. He doesn't change their Mondays, their Tuesdays, their Wednesdays, their Thursdays, their Fridays, their Saturdays, and their Sunday evenings. Right? They can go to the bar Saturday night, and they can sing, and then they can come sing in the choir Sunday morning and think it's not a big problem. It's not a big deal. Why? Because he's my Savior. He doesn't mind. So the issue is, who do we say that he is? Who do I say he is? Because what I believe and say he is to me is who he is to me. And what you believe, who you believe he is to you, and say he is who he is to you. That's very important. He is to us what we believe and say he is. That's worth coming this morning. As Keith Moore says, it's worth combing your hair and coming out. Hallelujah. He is to me what I believe and say he is, and that's what we allow him to do. That's why Mark chapter, I think it's 6, when Jesus went, and the Bible says that he could not do any mighty works. It's not that he didn't want to. He wanted to. But the Bible says that he could not, because of their unbelief, he could not do there any mighty works except... He healed a few sick folks, and the minorly sick folks is really what they were. And so he could do a little bit because there was a little bit of belief, but because of their unbelief, he was hindered from doing what he wanted to do. And unbelief will continue. Unbelief in our lives will continue to hinder him from doing what we want him to do. He is to us what we believe and say he is. So Peter said, "You are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, you are blessed.
Yes.
You are blessed because you got this by revelation from my Father.
Yeah.
So the blessing is a result of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Let's say that together. Say it after me. The blessing is a result of the Word of God. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28. Genesis 1, 28. Right at the beginning. Genesis 1 verse 28 says, then God blessed them and God said. So here's the way the blessing always functions or operates or is released. God blessed them and said. God blessed them and said. The blessing is always released through His words. The blessing is always released by what He said. He said to Peter, Peter, you are blessed because you got this by revelation from my Father. You're blessed because you got the word from the Father. We see here, God blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, fill up the earth, subdue, and have dominion. This is the blessing released in His word. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3. Because you may have heard this, but I've never heard this before, taught or explained. Ephesians chapter 3, or Ephesians chapter 1. Until I studied this, and it's like, oh, wow, that makes a whole lot of difference. God's Word, the blessing is a result of the Word of God. So we saw that in Genesis 1:28. God blessed them saying... Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Says, blessed be the God... Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. So, the Greek words... We are blessed. That first word, blessed, is the Greek word that can also be translated prospered. We are blessed, or he hath blessed us. He has blessed us. He's prospered us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. So, the word spiritual is not really foreign. It just means non-carnal or not of this earth. So it's spiritual. It's supernatural. Jesus said, my words, they are spirit and they are life. Amen. It's alive and powerful. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. So we see that He's prospered us with all spiritual, non-carnal, not of this world, talking about supernatural blessings. Now, that word blessings was interesting because it's the Greek word eulogia, where we get the word eulogy. You know, when you go to a funeral, they just talk. They say something good about the body that's laying there.
Yes.
Right? Talk about the guy's life, the lady's life, the person's life. So it's the Greek word eulogia, which means fine speaking, benediction, declaring or speaking an abundant provision on us. So read that again. The Greek word eulogia means fine speaking. It means benediction. It means declaring or speaking an abundant provision on us. Declaring or speaking an abundant provision on us. In heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So, what do we see here? We see that based on this verse and the Greek words, the Bible says that God has prospered us who are in Christ Jesus with every word and declaration He has made from heaven, or every word He has spoken. And His words are supernatural. Amen? God has prospered us who are in Christ by every, or with every word and declaration He has said. In other words, this, the Word of God, is how the blessing is released in our lives. And so when we talk about what we just watched with the Believer's Voice of Victory and Dr. Caroline Leaf, we can see how we take this word and we think it. We allow our thoughts to be transformed, our minds to be renewed, and it literally changes our DNA. It literally changes our bodies. It literally changes the effect and the output of our life. It changes everything. The Word of God. God said this, the Word of God has within it the power to fulfill itself. And so we put this in us. And it's through His Word that the blessing is released. He prospers us. Now, prosperity doesn't just mean finances. It has every area, right? Spirit, soul, body. Financially, relation-wise, socially. It touches every area. The Word of God. And so, when Jesus looks at Peter, because Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the Living God." He said, "You are blessed because my Father revealed this to you. You got the Word from God. You got a Word from heaven. And because of that Word, you've taken it and you are blessed because of it." Amen. The blessing is a result of the Word of God. God blessed them saying, see, the blessing and the Word of God, saying, "Be fruitful, multiply, increase, fill up the earth, subdue and have dominion." And then we see here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, that we are blessed, we're prospered with all spiritual, non-carnal, not of this earth, supernatural, spiritual blessings. Because of those blessings are supernatural, spiritual words. They're fine speaking. They're benediction. God talking about us. And He got, just so we can remember what He said, He wrote it in a book. I don't know about you, but I don't remember everything people have said to me. And so I have to make notes myself. Remember this, remember that. And so God did the same thing. He wrote it down for us so we can know what He said. Because the blessing is a result. It's released from His Word. God has prospered us who are in Christ with every word and declaration He has made from heaven. Revelation, revealed knowledge, the wisdom of God is given to us by the Father through the Holy Spirit. That's the avenue. That is the person of revelation. That's the person who's personally at work in our lives. He's our connection to the Father. All right, so let's go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. John chapter 16, starting in verse 13, says, "But when He," verse 13, John chapter 16, "but when He, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, He will guide you into all truth, the whole, full truth. For He will not speak His own message on His own authority," this is the Amplified, "but He will tell whatever He hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to Him, and He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come, that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify Me," this is Jesus speaking, "because He will take of, receive, draw upon what is Mine, and He will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you." Verse 15, "Everything that the Father has is Mine, and that is what I meant when I said that He will take the things that are Mine and reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit them to you." So, Based on the Amplified, we can see a few things about revelation. King James says, show. He will show us. He will reveal to us. Amplified says, declare, disclose, and transmit. So those three words, the word declare, see, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, the Father, Peter, revealed it to you by the Spirit. And so the Father will do the same thing for each and every one of us by the Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit will show, reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit to us those things to come. The word declare means to announce. It means to make known or to tell openly or formally. So he's going to take what he has heard the Father and heard from the Son. He's going to take those things and he's going to formally announce them. He's going to make known to us. He will tell us openly. Hallelujah. We're not having to figure everything out. He's going to make it open. Amen. We don't have to scratch. We don't have to beg for it. He wants to make things open and clear. He wants to announce it. And he's not going to stand in the back and whisper it. He wants to announce it. Why? Because he wants us to know. Wisdom said this in the book of Proverbs. They're sitting at the main place where everyone hangs out. And she lifts her voice up. She's not in a corner. Wisdom's not in the corner saying, psst, psst, psst. No, wisdom lifts her voice because she wants us to know. Announce, to make known, to openly tell openly or formally. The word disclose means to uncover. You know, like a treasure chest and you open it up. Whoo! Or you've got a blanket on something, or we can use it this way, a present. You know, your Christmas presents, your birthday presents, they're covered up. And you have to rip the cover off, right? The wrapping, to uncover, to see what's inside. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit will disclose. He will uncover, reveal, and bring to open. To uncover, to reveal, and to bring to open. That's what we want. We don't want to just guess, pretend, look at the gift, look at the present, look what's under the blanket. What's under the blanket? What's under the tarp? You know, what is it? Well, he wants to open and uncover things. He wants to bring things to the open. We can say this, he wants to even turn the lights on. Right? You can be running around in a dark room and you can be running and tripping over things and falling over things because it's dark. But he wants to open things up. He wants to bring things to the open. You can be somewhere where all of a sudden the sun comes up and you go, wow. Oh, for example, when I was a teenager, I went, to a wilderness camp. And so we went out in the towards Rocky Mountain House and we were out there somewhere, right? I think somewhere out there. Caroline, we were out there, and then we took a van from there and went out, and we got our backpacks and we walked this path, and it was starting to get dark, and by the time we got to our campsite it was dark, and we got out there and there's a lake out here and there's trees everywhere, and but there's this open area by the water, and so we set up our tents. This is kind of open, it looks kind of flat, so we set up our tent. Now when the light comes up, all of a sudden, you can tell, you know, when you get in the woods and the roots decide to come up out of the ground? Well, we had a root that had come up right under our tent. Well, we couldn't see it at nighttime to move our tent over, so we got this bump in the middle of our tent, right? So he wants to open things up to where all of a sudden it's not like, well, we're just kind of, well, this kind of looks fine. It looks good. You know what? Let's just believe this because we think it's fine. No, we believe the Word of God because what he did, he made it open. He opened it up. He caused us to see. He uncovered some things. He revealed things to us. And then the word transmit. The word transmit means to send from one person or place to another. To send from one place, person or place to another. So, you know, a long time ago, I mean, you could do Morse code. And then you to telegraph and you could get a message, you know, transmitted. And then they had telephone, you know, where all of a sudden you could phone and your voice could actually travel and not just some sounds. And then we've got texting and we've got email and we've got everything now where we can carry the instrument in our pocket. We don't have to go to the wall or go to a certain place in our house, and now we can carry this means of communication. We can this transmitting device on ourselves wherever we go. Even a phone or a watch can have it, and it's, you know. So the Holy Spirit wants to be able to send, transmit this information to us, from Him to us. Amen? He wants to show, reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit to us things to come. Hallelujah. And He does it because He's living in us and because He's with the Father and the Son. Amen? And so He's able to, there's no distance with Him, but He lives in us. And so then He gets the information and then He passes it on to us. Passes it on to our spirit, and then up comes to our mind, so it registers. Amen? Do you get that? And so He's right on the inside of us. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit, He wants to show, reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit to us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is the one of the Ephesians prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed by the Spirit of God that we can lay hold of and pray regularly for ourselves. And so I pray this for all of us each day. Verse 17, he said, "For I always pray the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory," I'm reading out of the Amplified, "that He may grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets in the deep and intimate knowledge of Him, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which He called you, and how rich His glorious inheritance in the saints, His set-apart ones, and so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of His power in and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength," verse 20, "which is exerted in Christ, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His own right hand in heavenly places." So, he said, I'm praying that God would grant to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. And what is He going to do? He's going to cause insight. That He would grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into the mysteries and secrets. So that's the revealing, the declaring, the disclosing, the transmitting. Amen. His insights, His word, His ways. "And that the eyes of our understanding may be flooded with light, so that we might know." Not that we just have information, but that we might know. And because we have an intimate knowledge, we're able to then, call wisdom, that's what the spirit of wisdom has to do, now we can apply that knowledge. It's not just information that we have, like having a book on a shelf. We can have lots of bookshelves with lots of books. We can have lots of information. But it's not until we take the book off and we begin to say, how can I apply this book to my life, this situation? You know, so we've got a situation. We can look at our books and go, hey, that title matches my situation. Let's put this to work. And that's what we do here, is He's given us information. And then we take that information by the spirit of wisdom and revelation, the wisdom of God. And now we can begin to apply that information. How does it apply to me today? You know, on Wednesday at 3:00 in the afternoon, when I'm looking at this situation or hearing this person or seeing this event, how can I work it? How can I apply it? Because the Word of God is applicable, right? Just because some versions have these and thous, which is a long time ago, does not mean it's not applicable today. So the Spirit of wisdom and revelation gives us insight and light so we can know and understand and then apply it and make changes in our lives. Then he goes on to say, back in, going to be keeping and coming back to Matthew chapter 16. So we see in verse 17, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed it to you, but my Father which is in heaven." So we're talking about revelation, revealed knowledge. This is how the blessing was released, because he heard a word from God and he applied it in his life. He spoke it. He declared it. "Who do you say that I am?" And he said, "You are the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Son of the living God. You are blessed." And then he goes on to say, "Because you have received this from my Father, which is in heaven." You have received this from my Father, which is in heaven. Verse 18, "And I say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." So, when Jesus now began to talk about the Father, now he's been, the book of Matthew, he's been talking about the Father quite frequently, starting from the Beatitudes, chapter 5 and so. But see, when he's talking about the Father, he is just about, because we're talking about first mention of the church, he's just about to talk about the church. So Jesus is about to introduce them to a new thought. He's about to introduce them to a new idea. He's about to introduce to them a new family, a new group of people, and that is the church. Jesus is about to reveal, because he's talking about my Father, but now he's not just wanting it to be my Father. He's beginning to introduce a new family, a new group of people that they've never heard of before. They never thought of before. Let's go Am I getting ahead of myself? I am getting ahead of myself. So let's stay on track here. Hallelujah. So he's revealing this new group, this new family, the church. Then he said, "On this rock I will build my church." Mm-hmm. Now, he said, "You are Peter, and on this rock." The word Peter is the Greek word Petros. P-E-T-R-O-S. Petros. 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 Means a piece of rock. A stone that might be thrown or easily moved. How many have skipped rocks on a river or a pond or a lake or zing? Yeah. So a piece of rock, you know, something fun. Hallelujah. A piece of rock. Peter, piece of rock. Rock said, "You are Peter, a piece of rock. And on this rock," the word rock is the Greek word Petra. P-E-T-R-A. Like the band. Petra. The rock band. Woo! And so Petra means a mass of rock. A type of a sure foundation. A mass of rock. You know, so this is a rock that you don't just skip across the pond. This is not a rock you just kind of, you know, flex your muscles and pick up and you know, really work to and then drop it because, and don't ask me to move it again. You know, not that kind of a rock. No, it's a rock where you drive your truck into it and it doesn't move. And you go, mental note, keep the truck away from this spot. You know what I'm saying? Right? This is a rock. A massive rock. And it cannot be moved. So Jesus said, "You are a piece of rock. And upon this massive, huge rock, this massive mountain, this massive hill, this huge piece of rock, I'm going to build my church." So Peter is not the foundation of the church in this rock. But what Jesus is saying is that this rock of revelation, This rock of hearing from God. This rock of intimacy and fellowship with God as our Father. This is the rock that I'm going to build my church on. He said, Peter, you're blessed because you heard from heaven. You heard from God. It was revealed to you by my Father. And on this rock, this is the sure foundation that we stand on, is we can hear from God. Amen? We can hear from Him. The Holy Ghost can reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit stuff to us. And as long as we keep that stuff, make sure it lines up with the written Word of God, we are safe and sound. That is what makes us different. That's what distinguishes us from everyone else. Everyone else has ideas and opinions, and they have beliefs and thoughts. And you know what? Some may work and some may not work. But there's no sure foundation if you are not on the Word. We have the Word of God, sure foundation. Not only do we have the author writing us the Word, but we have the author of the Word living in us.
Yes.
Amen? To explain stuff that is kind of difficult or that we might not understand. To continue to uncover, like an onion, you can uncover one layer and you find there's still more onion. You can take another layer, there's still more onion. Another peel, another layer off, there's more onion. We thought we had onion. We got rid of one. And it's still there. Glory to God. And so the same thing with the Word. We can read the Word of God. We can kind of peel off a layer. Like, oh, this is good stuff. This is wonderful. And then all of a sudden we can go back to it again, or we can hear it preached again, and all of a sudden it's like, I see something else. Brother Hagin said every year he taught in our faith library class on faith, he learned something new. Hallelujah. Every year he taught on faith a lot. Even if he taught on once a year, that class. But he taught on faith a lot and still continued to learn something new about faith year after year after year. So, matter of fact, he's talking about, when he was talking about that, he was talking about Mark 11:23. He said he taught on that every year in that class and he learned something new every year. So, the layers, the depth of revelation and knowledge of this Word is infinite. The Holy Ghost can shine light, bring new revelation, new insight, can uncover something. Oh, I never didn't see it that way. I didn't see it that way. All of a sudden we can see, oh, I didn't tie that with that before. You know, He'll take the Word of God and we can continue to learn if we are open, if we are interested in hearing more. So, on this rock has to do with revelation. It has to do with hearing from God. It has to do with intimacy. See, because hearing, revelation is not just the reading. It's not just the information, right? Because before we were saved, we could read the Bible. There are unsaved people that are preachers that preach, and they just preach good messages. You know, wholesome type stuff. They have no idea what they're talking about until we meet the author. And all of a sudden it's like, I remember in Sunday school, I heard the story about how Jesus, Luke chapter 4, He dealt with the devil, the temptation and how He overcame. Well, I didn't overcome a whole lot as a teenager, saved teenager. Because I didn't know. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden I had the person who's pastoring the church we were going to taught on Mark 4, and all of a sudden, it's like, poing, the lights came on. And as I began to pray in the Spirit, as I began to get involved with God, intimacy with Him, all of a sudden I began to see Luke chapter 4. And the way Jesus dealt with the devil is not just there as a good Sunday school story. It's telling me how I can deal with the devil. You know, it's not just a faraway story that you go, oh, that's just interesting, you know, that's fun. It kind of took up an hour, you know, and now we can go and watch TV, we can play games, we can go eat, and no, but all of a sudden it was something that I could actually take with me. And I could actually do it when I'm being tempted and get the same results. This revelation, this rock, this foundation that we stand on has to do with intimacy. All of a sudden, he's introducing what? A new family. Not only my father, but now he's our father. A new family, a new group of people. So, Peter is not the foundation of the church. It is this rock of revelation, hearing from God, intimacy and fellowship with God as our Father. Being a doer of that revealed word positions our life on the sure foundation. Yeah. Right? Remember Jesus said this. You got two guys that built their house, one on the sand and one on the rock. Yeah. And he said the same storms in life came. The rain fell, the floods came, and the wind beat on their houses. Mm-hmm. Same rain, same water. Same wind. One stood and one didn't. Because there was no foundation. This house was completely destroyed. This life was destroyed. This house stood. This house, this life was successful. What was the difference? Jesus said this. They both had the word, but one did the word and one didn't. One may have memorized the word. Maybe had it in their little, maybe had the scripture hanging on their wall. Could tell you about it, could tell you what so-and-so preached about it, but never did it. But this person had it on the wall, had it in their heart, and they did it, and their life stayed strong and successful. That was the difference. Being a doer of that revealed word positions our lives on the true, sure foundation, the true rock. Amen? That massive piece of rock that doesn't move. Amen. There is this idea and thought that Jesus came to bring us, the church, as the group of people God has chosen to be his family. There is this new idea. This is the new idea and thought Jesus came to bring us. Now, let me read that the way I wrote it. This is the new idea that Jesus came to bring us. It's the church. And it is a group of people God has chosen to be his family. Can you see where the intimacy is involved here? He's chosen us to be part of his family. So, Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus is the church builder, and we are to help him. Let me finish off with a little bit here. Jesus said, I will build my church. So what does the church mean? It's the Greek word ecclesia. And so from the Strong's Concordance and the Vine's Expository Dictionary, I've got these definitions. So ecclesia is actually made up of two words. The first one is ek. Ek. Ecclesia, so ek. Ek means out of, from, by, on, and with. Oh, so ek means out of or out from. It means by, on, and with. So the primary preposition denotes origin. The point where action or motion proceeds. In other words, the out from, the out of a place, the out of time. Or cause. So the primary preposition has to do with the point of action or motion. Okay? The word klesia, ecclesia, ek, and now klesia, klesis. Klesis means this, a calling to call, to bid, be so named. To urge on, command, or to be at one's command. Okay, so you're receiving this call. It also means a gathering summoned for any definite purpose. So what is the church then? The ecclesia. The church is called out of. It's called out from. So we talked about distinguished, and that's, again, separation, set apart, holiness, okay? The church is called out of, called out from, called forth on and with a holy calling, a called on or called with a holy calling. That has to do with the ek. It's also a congregation, assembly, and gathering for a purpose. A congregation, assembly, and gathering for purpose. So, let's go to 1 Peter 2:9. We'll close here. 1 Peter 2:9. The church is called out of, called out from, and called forth. Is called, is on and with a holy calling. Called on and called with a holy calling. A congregation, assembly, and gathering for a purpose. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, we are distinguished, a holy nation, a peculiar." The word peculiar doesn't mean weird and strange. It means purchased. We are a purchased people. We've been bought. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar purchased people. What? That you should show forth the praises of Him who's done what? Who has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. Why? That we should show forth the praises of Him. The word praises there in the Greek can also be translated, my cross-reference says virtues. But the Greek also means the goodness, that we should show forth the praises of Him who's called us out of darkness, that we should be able to, that we should show forth the goodness, show forth the righteousness or the rightness, the uprightness, the excellence of Him who's called us out of darkness. It also means the character of Him, the integrity of Him. It also means the incorruptibility of Him. We are to show forth, we're to demonstrate, we are to reveal. Well, these things are supposed to be seen in us. The incorruptibility, the honor, and the principles of Him who called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. This is this new group of people. This is this new family. This is this new organization, organism, this new something that Jesus is talking about. First things first. He's talking about this first mention of things. This is, we are called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He's talking about the church. We are called out of the curse and into the blessing. We've been called out of death and into life. We've been called out of fear and into faith. We've been called out of the family of the devil and into the family of God. We are the church. We are an amazing people. Hallelujah. We are the church. The church is not a building. The church is not a meeting. The church is not a group of people who worship Mary. The church has meetings, right? We have gatherings. The church may go to a building and meet there, but the church is not the building. The church is not the meeting. It's the people in the meeting. It's the people in the building. Amen? Hallelujah. This is the church. We are the church. The church is every born-again child of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And that is each and every one of us. Amen?